Our Old Testament reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. "And now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. John. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And it is written in the prophets, 'And they will be all taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from today's epistle reading found in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Let me read you just a few of the verses again. "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgives you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Here ends our text. Before and after pictures. You've seen them in advertisements on TV, on the internet, and in magazines. Often they're used by companies to promote a new dietary supplement or exercise equipment. In the before picture, you see someone who looks overweight and unhappy. There's nothing attractive or stylish in their appearance. In the after picture, you see the same person smiling, fit and trim, obviously enjoying life. The implication, of course, is that if you were to use this product, you too could be much happier and more attractive. But imagine what would happen if the before and after pictures were the same. Or worse still, that the before picture looked better than the after picture. Obviously, the product wouldn't sell. No one would want to purchase a product that could promise no improvement, but might make your appearance even worse than before. This morning's text, the Apostle Paul presents his readers with a divine before and after picture. His plea to the Ephesian Christians and to us today as well is simple and direct. "Be what you are," he writes. In Jesus Christ, we are a divine after picture. Therefore, Paul urges us to show forth in our lives and in our choices that we make each day the positive difference that Jesus makes. When it comes to the before picture, Paul doesn't mince any words. "Do not continue to live like the heathen," he writes. "Remember what life was like for you before you became a Christian. The heathen's thoughts," he says, "are worthless. Their minds are in the dark. They have no part in the life that God gives. for they are completely ignorant and stubborn. They've lost all feeling of shame. They give themselves over to vice and do all sorts of indecent things without restraint. Not a pretty picture. But it's an accurate one nonetheless. Apart from God, they as sinful human beings were spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God by nature. With their minds in the dark, their moral judgment was so stultified that they were progressively less and less able to distinguish good from bad. Every denial of the truth made them less and less capable of recognizing the truth in the future. Every surrender to temptation encrusted their hearts and wills in such a way that it narrowed the range of their future choices. The result, Paul says, is a life characterized by licentiousness and greed. Licentiousness refers to immoral conduct that was considered to be so scandalous that it would shock even the most blasé of public opinion. Greed was not merely the desire to get more than what one already has, but the act of getting it, irrespective of the cost to other people, trampling the rights of others in the single-minded drive for self-satisfaction. For the pagan people of Ephesus, such self-centered immorality was a way of life. Well, that was the before picture. But now Paul continues, there's been a radical change. Having been taught the truth that is in Jesus, they were to get rid of their old self, which made them live as they used to. And they were to put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. Their after picture was to be entirely different from what had been before. Focused as it was on Jesus Christ, their lives were to reflect His likeness. Get rid of your old self. Put on the new self. It sounds so simple. Like taking off worn, dirty clothes and instead putting on clothes that are clean and new. But anyone who has tried even the simplest of changes in life knows how difficult that can be. Think back to the last time you resolved to make a positive change in your lifestyle. Perhaps to lose some weight or eat healthier foods or get more exercise. How successful were you? Often, the pull of old habits, old ways of doing things is much too strong for us, and we revert to our former lifestyle, with the added burden now of feeling guilty for having done so. If that is the case with the relatively small changes we might make in our lifestyle, imagine how much more difficult the radical change which Paul writes about would be. For by our very nature as sinful human beings, the sort of self-centered egotism which informs the pagan lifestyle is our natural starting point. Combine that with the temptations of the demonic and the pressures to conform from this sinful world in which we live, and it would seem to suggest that any change from the status quo of the old self would be impossible. And it would be just that were it not for Jesus Christ. Scripture pictures human beings as our being by very nature enslaved to sin, with no ability or even inclination to free ourselves. It was for that very reason that Jesus came into our world, radically identifying himself with us in such a way that though without sin himself, he could take our sinfulness upon himself. And through his suffering and death on the cross, pay the price necessary to purchase our freedom. United to him in our baptism, we have died to sin, that we might experience new life, born again as children of our loving Heavenly Father. As a result, our sinful human nature no longer has the last word with regard to our priorities in life, our actions, our attitudes. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, enlightened with his gifts, we can seek to follow the example of our Lord, to show forth his self-giving love in the way that we relate to other people, to live lives characterized by love, to live lives characterized by joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Such positive Christian virtues are no longer an impossible goal to achieve, but with the Spirit's guidance can become our goal as we put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. And that was the effect that it had on the Christians to whom the apostle originally wrote in this morning's text in Ephesus and elsewhere. In a pagan world characterized by self-aggrandizement and self-acquisition, the selfish acquisition of material things, Christians, having put on the new self created in God's likeness, were known for this self-giving love they showed to others, particularly those in need. In a world tainted by sexual immorality of the most flagrant kind, Christians were known for the stability of their marriages and their love of their families. And the church grew as a result. In our world today, we face many of the same challenges addressed in this morning's text. We live in a world which, as the prophet Jeremiah wrote, doesn't even know how to blush. And the sad fact is that while decrying to each other the immorality celebrated in our movies and television programs, we as Christians are often indistinguishable from our non-Christian neighbors in our actions and attitudes. We tend to go with the flow of our society, little realizing that the flow is a current leading to destruction. The same way the Apostle Paul urgently exhorts us as well in our text, be what you are. In your baptism, you put off the old self that is being destroyed by its deceitful desires and put on the new self created in God's likeness. You have died and risen with Christ, so that the old nature no longer has the last word with regard to your life and your attitudes. You have been transformed into a new humanity in Jesus Christ. As such, you should think and act differently. The church should be a counterculture, which through the words and deeds of its members points to a different reality, patterned after the self-giving love of Jesus Christ. Former President Jimmy Carter once wrote about the most unforgettable funeral that he had ever attended. It was for Mrs. Martin Luther King, Sr. I and a number of other speakers made brief comments, he said, but there was one truly memorable presentation. The Reverend Otis Moss of Cleveland, Ohio, preached a brief but remarkable sermon about the little dash between. He said there would be a marker on Mrs. King's grave with her name and a couple of dates, when she was born and when she died. And a little dash between. He said everybody has what might be considered a little dash. But that, to us, with God, it's everything. The question is, what do we do with that little dash, which represents our life on earth? May people see in our dash a reflection of Jesus Christ as we seek to show forth in our lives the difference that Jesus makes. In his name, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.